Welcome to Tammy Talks 2. Today, it is my pleasure to interview new city councilwoman of Cleveland for the historic Huff neighborhood, Stephanie D. House. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hi, Tammy. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Now, I want to let our audience know a little bit about you, because maybe people don't know your background. And I do know some of your background because we go back a couple, few decades. So, well, we're not going to talk about our ages, honey. We done been through that little conversation already. We know that we are aging like fine wine. And we met actually back in Glenville at the Entrepreneur Academy. So we might talk a little bit about your entrepreneurship and the things that you do. But I want to just go over a little bit about your bio that I'm looking at, Stephanie, and it's rather impressive. You are a caregiver, a mentor, and a public servant. And you're presently, like I said, serving as Ward 7 Councilwoman in Cleveland City Council. And you've been doing this civic engagement over 30 years. I did not know that. And you began helping your mom, the Honorable Annie L. Key, by passing out flyers. And through the years, you have grown to understand the interconnections between the laws created and the social, economic, and physical environments community members face in working toward breaking generational poverty. So we definitely want to talk about that a little bit. But prior to joining Cleveland City Council, Stephanie served as an Ohio State representative, an educator, a consultant, and engineer. Her range of lived experiences keeps her grounded in the realities of everyday people and motivates her to use her public platform to share uncomfortable truths and engage in uncomfortable conversations to move our community forward for the benefit of all and not just a select few. Stephanie earned her BS in Civil Environmental Engineering from Florida A&M University and her MA in Environmental Studies from Cleveland State University. She has many notable honors. I'll name a few. In 2020 as a trainer for the Progressive Governance Academy, 2019 honorary chair of the Cleveland Walk to End Alzheimer's, 2017 a fellow for BOHE Institute for Legislative Leadership Development, Council of State Governments, and 2016 Youth Voice Award Civic Leader Recipients, MyCom. So again, welcome Stephanie D. House.
Thanks for having me today.
You know what, Stephanie? Let's just get right into it. Now, what's going on in Huff? And I'm going to say Huff Heights. You know, that's just a little nickname we say. We love Huff. Can you tell us about some of the things or initiatives or things that are happening in Huff? I've heard about a couple closings of schools and places, and I just want to educate our audience on what's going on.
Of course. So when we think about the Ward 7 community, historically, it has been known as the Huff community. Within that, though, it's greater than just the Huff neighborhood. Ward 7 includes Huff, St. Clair Superior, Goodrich Kirtland Park, also known as Asia Town, as well as a sliver of downtown. And so we have a great mix of community institutions, but it's all centered around and the people, right? And so when we think about like what's going on in Ward 7, there are many things going on. Some of the things I know about and many of the things I don't know about, right? So in my first year serving as a councilwoman, I've really been focusing on and really trying to have this vision of improving the quality of life, really focusing on the ABCs, A, access to resources, B, building family and neighbor relationships, and okay. C, creating a safe and vibrant neighborhood. And excellent. As a part of this, as we're doing this, we have developed a partnership with Fatima Family Center, been working on something called the Community Collaborative Project, where we excellent. Are developing a strategic plan based on those three areas. We've just gotten underway, I'm going to say about 2 weeks ago. There are working groups that have been meeting and really trying to just see how we can operate better and more collaboratively and cohesively, so that for all the things that are happening in our community, we have ways and different strategies to make sure people are connected. Because if you don't know something isn't happening, then it's not happening, right? So that those are the things. I mean, just for myself, I mean, like I said, we are talking about people, thousands of people. We are talking about hundreds of businesses and organizations. And if we don't have like strong foundations to keep people or bring people together and keep people connected, then everybody is just going to do their own thing. And so outside of kind of that strategic planning process, the Ward 7 office this year, we are committed to developing a community website to have kind of like this centralized area, so that we could begin to have one centralized place where people can tap into all the wonderful things that are happening in our community.
Oh, that sounds great. Because, you know, I believe that too. I think we suffer because of a lack of, I'm going to say, knowledge or even information. That's one of the things I like to do. I get a lot of information. I like to share that information, whether or not people get it or see it, I don't know. But if you don't have the information, just like you said, nothing is happening. You don't know. So right. I think that's fantastic, Stephanie, that you are doing that. I see that you are the vice chair for workforce, education, training, and youth development. Is there anything in those areas that you can tell us about? Maybe some initiatives? I know you're kind of new in the game right now with Cleveland City. You're a state rep, and but is there anything you might want to tell us about what's happening in either one of those areas that you serve as vice chair? Workforce.
So as we started out, we definitely we started off really having a touch point with the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, really getting an understanding of some of the new initiatives that they have to really try to connect our young people to really having productive lives by the time in preparation for graduation and beyond. So for people that aren't familiar, you know, Cleveland has the Say Yes Initiative. The Say Yes Initiative is a scholarship program, which basically ensures that every student who graduates from the Cleveland Metropolitan School District has access to scholarship dollars for the various post-secondary options that they may go, whether it's a training program, 2-year program, 4-year program. There is money for you, and we are we know we need to get the word out, because many families still don't even know this program exists. There is another initiative, which is the Cleveland PACE program. And the PACE program is an opportunity for our scholars to actually get on a pathway, right? So they are, it started last year, but it will be going into full implementation in the upcoming school year. But it really gives people an access to real hands-on connections to various career pathways, and giving them that access to career exploration and just the varying career possibilities for them, right? So that they can be, you know, set and have a strong start to plant those seeds so that it can grow and see, you know, by the time of graduation, having people more secure and assured of things that they want to do by the time they graduate. So that's kind of where we started in the educational world. Now, as we are transitioning to summer, we are very in tune of how we are making the connections, not only from CMSD, but from the city's Department of Recreation, to making sure that families and children have very, I would say, strong student enrichment activities that we could just continue on. So those are some of the initial starting places that we're going. But I'm really looking forward to where we will go beyond this, you know, as we think about the work we can do, the City of Cleveland's collaboration with our County Workforce Board and other partners that are really, really crucial partners in ensuring that Clevelanders are connected to various workforce development, so that we can, you know, raise the economic status for our people living in Cleveland.
Oh, that's great. So since we're talking about recreation, is there anything happening with Thurgood Marshall Rec Center. I don't know. Is it still Thurgood Rec Center?
It is. Or? It is. Thurgood Marshall is still open and open to the public. I would say for here in Ward 7, we have three recreation centers, and they're actually called neighborhood, community, and resource centers. And that's one of the things as we are making this transition from the traditional recreation center, really trying to explore opportunities with other community partners so that it can be seen as a community and resource center, right? So we have Thurgood Marshall Recreation Center. We have Kovacic Recreation Center, and then we have Sterling Recreation Center. Okay. So we have three different recreation centers, our neighborhood resource and community centers in Ward 7. And, you know, Kovacic was just recently renovated, that has a slew, new basketball court, pool, fitness center. I mean, they have like a nice meeting room. So if people are looking to host events, things of that nature, we have that. With Thurgood Marshall, with the summertime coming up, you know, we have it's called Advantage Cleveland, which is a summer tennis program. It has been going on for many, many years. So, you know, we have, like I said, all these wonderful activities that are happening in our community, but many times people just don't know about it, right? And so that's one of the things, like I said, this year for me, just trying to assess all the different things that we have and trying to put it in a place so that, again, more community members can know that there are activities going on right here in their home community. They don't have to go very far, and many times they are no cost to very little cost to be able to participate.
Oh, that's outstanding. Now, you're on the committee for, what is that, Development Planning and Sustainability?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if people know, but that's basically, it's responsible for the redevelopment of blighted areas, the rehabilitation and conservation of properties, and the alleviation of the housing shortage, economic and industrial development, and the land reutilization program, and all matters pertaining to Cleveland's Department of Community Development, Economic Development, Consumer Affairs, and Building and Housing, and Cleveland's Empowerment Zone.
Yes.
So that committee oversees the appropriation and expenditure of the Cleveland's Community Development Block Grants, which fund programs like recreation and senior services. So okay, that's a lot right there.
It's a lot. And I will tell you, thus far, most of our work has really been centered around the community development aspect of it, because there are some funding guidelines federally. Our community block grant dollars come from federal, and there were some deadlines that we had to meet. But as we've been going through the committee process, many times as there are various organizations looking to get maybe some changes or some potential development projects going on, they come through that committee. And then overall, you know, a lot of our focus is really trying to figure out how are we going to achieve the city of Cleveland's overall Cleveland plan. It's like a Cleveland housing plan, which is really focused on ensuring that there are basically like 100,000 units, you know, quality units of housing in the city of Cleveland, which is broken down into new development, right? Repairing, and, you know, fixing up things that we have, right? So there is a overall strategy in order to get there. And we are consistently looking at ways that the city of Cleveland can identify resources, you know, because that's the biggest thing. Where's the money going to come from, right? Where is the money going to come from? And we really have, and I would say in these initial 4 months, I think we have all come to an understanding that when we talk about affordable housing, and we are talking about based on the average household income for Clevelanders, which is around $30,000 in Ward 7, it's a little over $20,000. But how do you create affordable housing options for our community members that are making that amount of money, right? And we know that the local government will have to be a strong partner in that, because if we're just letting the market forces, you know, I can just say speak for what's going on in Ward 7, for all the projects and developments that are coming online, all of those are market rate. And when I say market rate, we are talking about housing options where you're starting off at $1,200 a month for rent or above, right? And we know that is not affordable, right? That is not affordable to many Ward 7 residents. And so that's one of the things now we're kind of, you know, working with the new director, Director Alyssa Hernandez, and her team in community development to really think about what other tools we can use to really prop up and support a truly affordable housing in the city of Cleveland. And that's really kind of where our work has centered on and focused on thus far in development planning and sustainability, but really looking forward to getting into some of the other areas, especially when you think about economic development and building and housing. We know we got some work there, but that's a work in progress.
Woo, Lord. Okay, Stephanie, you're also a member on the Health, Human Services, and the Arts Committee. I see my old councilman, Kevin Conwell, is the chair.
Yes.
What can you tell us around that? You know, the arts is really my thing.
What's
happening with that?
Yeah, so, you know, that this is Health, Human Services, and the Arts. The arts have been a new element to the Cleveland City Council committee structure. So thus far, we are looking at, you know, there has been, you know, there's been a lot of focus around ARPA, the American Rescue Plan Act dollars. And, you know, we have talked to like a consortium of arts organizations as people have really tried to advocate for some inclusion of the arts when it comes to these ARPA dollars. So that's something I would say that's happening in the short term. Long term, I know that, you know, we are beginning in the initial stages of really trying to think what opportunities do we have to incorporate the arts and how we are delivering our services, right? And this is not just on the practitioner side, but also on the business side, right? There are many artists, you know, when you talk about like building development and curating works there and how, you know, the design of different products, how can we more intentionally connect to our arts community, right? That can all, you know, to that can lead to and be a more intentional part in the business of the city of Cleveland versus it, you know, in many cases, everybody does their own thing. We're trying to, you know, bring everyone into the fold and really explore, I would say, new practices just in the city of Cleveland of how arts, you know, has really shown to be healing, right? You know, there are some interconnections there that we haven't traditionally explored. And this is an opportunity within our community, our committee to really look at the ways that the city of Cleveland, you know, can just work better in partnership, get into some of the results that we want to a healthier, you know, healthier Clevelanders and vibrancy in our city.
Okay. So now I guess I can't leave that topic without asking you about the African-American Museum.
Yes.
What is happening with the African-American Museum? Or is anything happening with the African-American Museum? Because that's one of the things in the past, I was a volunteer for years over there. We did a lot of things over there and brought in some great people. But I haven't seen anything really happening over the last few years. So is there anything that the city can do, or do the museum want to partner, or can they get some of these funds that hopefully are coming so that they can establish something? Or is there something else that's going to be a part of this whole cultural thing now that the recreation centers are more than just recreation centers?
Yeah, so that's one of the things when it comes to the African American History Museum. You know, that is, you know, it's an organization, has an executive director and a board. Now, I, in my capacity now, have not met with them to, you know, to have a full understanding of what direction they want to go in and what partnership opportunities they are looking for with the city of Cleveland. I can say, you know, in my previous life as a state representative, you know, I have, you know, advocated and what have been successful in getting them capital improvement dollars to really try to help with some of the infrastructure needs there at the museum. So I guess, it really will remain to see, you know, what direction the museum wants to go in. And in my new role as a councilwoman, what direction they want to take in having a partnership with the city of Cleveland.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. And I also see you're on the safety committee, but you want to touch on that a little bit?
Yes.
I'm hearing things about Cleveland and safety. I don't really know what's going on because I really don't watch the news like that.
Yeah.
Perhaps you can let us know what's happening.
So, you know, many times our safety committee is definitely busy, you know, as we talk about many times the various grant and funding opportunities that the Division of Public Safety is looking to, you know, have invested for various initiatives they are looking toward. You know, many times, you know, we just recently went over and had legislation really focusing on kind of like the expansion or continuation of the University Circle area. When you look at Cleveland Clinic, Case Western Reserve, and University Circle Incorporated, their police departments. But I would say from like my perspective within there, you know, I'm coming looking at just the overall way that we have used policing in the city of Cleveland. I am one of those ones that say it is not working, you know, and I've been very clear on that. You know, all of our, again, when we are, many people have been experiencing many of the safety challenges, and I really am going to continue to be a voice to push the city of Cleveland to look differently in our investments, specifically looking at opportunities to invest in more preventative things, the things that we know lead people down a pathway to destruction, right? Are the things from, you know, housing instability, not having, I would say, more nurturing and healing environments for people that have dealt with very traumatic, just traumatic life happenings.
Right.
When you think about, you know, just people not having money, right? You know, that's stress that causes and the things that will people do when they are in desperate situations.
Right.
And, you know, really thinking about what should having a safe community look like in 2022 and beyond, right? You know, the city of Cleveland currently, you know, we just budgeted $220 million for our police department, right? And you know, when you look at that amount of money, and I'm talking about the Cleveland's discretionary funds, and then we look at the Department of Aging, where we allocated $1.8 million, there is just a real imbalance, in my opinion, of how we are funding things that we say we care about, but our dollars do not match. And, you know, I know there has been this conversation on we are understaffed and we need more police. And I'm saying more police for what? Right. And it's and I'm being very clear and open. Like, tell me for what? We currently right now we have, like, I believe a 1-263 ratio police to resident. Like, this
wait a minute, what, so could you say that again, please, man?
We have one police Cleveland police officer for every 263 Cleveland residents.
And how much money did they just get?
$220 million.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
So I am a person, like, I'm not, you know, I don't want to, you know, I know this can be a very emotional topic from people. With it beyond emotions, I want us to look at the real facts and figures and outcomes.
Right, right.
These facts and figures do not lead to us having a safer community. When you compare what you call the, and I'm putting my air quotes, safe communities, you don't see an over-reliance and over-investment in policing. You see it in the things that make communities whole, right? Mm. Housing, education, you know, healthcare, mental health supports, right? Those Absolutely. Are the things that you have investment in. And so, you know, I know, you know, people have been, you know, potentially giving me the side eye, but I'm built for this, and I am ready to have a conversation about how the city of Cleveland, with our limited resources, look right. how we are getting the most bang for our bucket.
That's right.
And I know our safety committee, you know, we're just going to continue in a conversation, and hopefully we can make some better improved investments to get to a result where Cleveland truly is a safe and vibrant community for everyone.
Okay, wonderful. Now, we can't talk about Cleveland being safe if we don't deal with this lead situation. I know you're on the this lead safe. There's a Cleveland coalition.
Mm-hmm.
What if anything is being done? I'm sure there's something. I know a lot of money's been pumped through this lead situation with the older housing stock. What are some of the things you're doing in Huff or that you can tell us about that's going to deal with this problem? With all of these houses, you know, like Glenville, Huff, that's, you know, it's contaminated with lead.
Yeah, so for me, it is definitely, you know, and for any community, it is not about working in isolation. It is about being in partnership with our, you know, our broader community efforts.
Okay.
You know, so, I really am encouraging, you know, my residents, where we have the Lead Safe Cleveland Coalition. There's also the Lead Safe Resource Center, which, you know, Cleveland City Council, you know, has allocated well over $15 million to this over $100 million initiative, which is really an opportunity for us to make sure we are creating lead safe environments. So if there are things that need to be remediated in your homes, and these opportunities, now we have the resources now for whether you are a renter, whether you are a property owner, to have access to the resources to remove the lead so that our children will be safe, right? And so that's, again, I am continuing to work with Ward 7 residents to make sure that they know about the Lead Safe Resource Center and are going through the process with the supports to make sure that we need to remediate and rectify problem areas to ensure that our babies can be safe.
Wonderful. Okay, so let me go back a little bit. Environmental justice, that's like my baby right now. I mean, I'm kind of all over the place with issues, but this environmental justice, this is something I've been working on really for the last year or so, not with Cleveland people per se, but kind of national people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting ready to do something around Juneteenth, but we could talk about that a little bit later. But tell me some of the things that you're doing or you see or you would envision around environmental justice for not just for your community, but maybe you could specifically talk about your community, but Cleveland as a whole. Because Cleveland's supposed to be this, what, green city by Blue Lake or something, right?
Yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
So what are we doing?
So I know there is a lot of work being done in various places, right? But not everyone is connected to it. And I think for me, and I always am wearing my legislator hat, I always am very conscious of the language that we use and who knows what we're talking about. So one of the things that I will be doing is working on legislation to actually define environmental justice, right?
Oh,
so that we
okay.
all have just a baseline and a foundational understanding of what we're talking about, right?
Mm-hmm,
from a city
mm-hmm.
of Cleveland perspective. So then as we're doing various week things, you know, so this week is Air Quality Awareness Week. I'll put the shout out for Monday
okay.
to Friday is Air Quality Awareness Week. But there are that way we can increases everybody understanding and hopefully begin to get people to think more intentionally about how the work they are actually doing, whatever they're doing, is mm-hmm. leading. Am I a part of the solution or am I part of the problem? Because usually okay. those are the two options, right? But okay. one of the things that I will say how I came to this place of where I want to start in the city of Cleveland. Like I said, this week is Air Quality Awareness Week, and you know I'll be on a panel or facilitating. A panel around environmental justice and health. And, you know, when I talked to someone in a different department, I said, okay, well, how are we defining environmental justice? And they was like, you know, it was a real blank stare. And so I was like, okay. And I looked into our, the city of Cleveland's ordinances. We don't have it defined. And I'm saying, it's hard to begin to highlight something that you don't understand, right?
Exactly.
And so that's something, like I said, an initial part that I want to start at, because it is so far, wide, and deep when you talk not only from air but water. You know, we're talking about the physical environments. Then when you actually talk about actual community spaces, right? Like mm-hmm. all of those things, you talk about the food. I mean, there's just so many different parts that are connected to environmental justice. I just want to help the city of Cleveland, for us to be able to clearly define it, right?
Okay, right.
And so that we can begin to work in a more intentional place and be able to set up some real goals as to looking through an environmental justice lens. How are we making improvements here in the city of Cleveland?
Okay, now let's get into the mayor. We have a new mayor, Mayor Bibb, Justin Bibb, who I admire greatly, and I'm actually an advocate for. I mean, I think Cleveland needs new and young and vibrant and intelligent, communicative people to lead the city. And I think he was the best choice. But that being said, he had a City of Cleveland speech thing. I forgot what it's called.
State of
the City. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't be there, but I did pose a question. It wasn't asked by me, but a young lady stood up and asked the mayor. You know, everybody knows Cleveland has been deemed the worst city for African-American women. And I can testify, it's not the best. Now, so the mayor said something to the effect of there's going to be a commission or something, a committee, and you're going to head that committee up. Could you please tell us the name of that commission or committee and what direction, what is going to happen? Is it going to be inclusive of community people or where are we? What's going to happen with that? First of all, name it, because I want to go with the name of it. and what's happening with that? Because I think me, as an African-American woman who live in this city, and, you know, I can agree that Cleveland has not been very good for African-American women. And so, on the whole.
Okay. So, there are we're talking about the creation of a Cleveland Commission on Black Women and Girls.
Okay.
So there was legislation introduced about 2 weeks ago from, you know, Mayor Bibb, myself, and Councilwoman Deborah Gray. And in the introduction of the legislation, it really just laid out kind of our initial thought on what this commission could be. Mm-hmm. Making up of a member from Cleveland City Council, the mayor's office, and additional 12 people from the community. And these individuals will be appointed. Some will be appointed by the mayor, some will be appointed by Cleveland City Council. Mm-hmm. But when we look at, like, what would they be really doing? Really, the idea is for this group to advise the mayor and council on matters pertaining to the quality of life on Black women and girls. We want them, you know, to be able to work on, you know, conducting research and hosting some public hearings, really thinking about, you know, the impact of, like, education and healthcare and economic development when it comes to Black women and girls. Mm-hmm. Really also want them to recommend actually policies and programs, right?
Mm-hmm.
for that the city of Cleveland really should be looking at to improve the trajectory of Black women and girls, and then really see if there are opportunities to actually make those investments financially, whether it's, you know, looking at actually government sources, outside sources, so it's not just things written on paper, but actually having the resources to do some of the things that the commission will offer and suggest. But as this, where we are now is, as this was introduced, one of the things that Councilwoman Gray and myself, we are definitely, we know we've gotten a lot of people who said they're interested in it. We are trying to keep up with those who say they are interested in and keep them updated as we go through this legislative process, right? So this is one of the things I'm trying to explain to people. The commission does not exist, right?
We created
the legislation, and so we are still in the legislative process. So
we're
just proposing something, and right now is an opportunity for people to provide their feedback. They like it, they don't like it. Are there some things that we should look at differently? Are there some different points that people want us to focus on that may not be outlined right now when we think about the duties of the commission? So again, for right now, we are here open ears to just get the pulse of community members on the commission. Did we get it right? Did we get it wrong? And if not, give us some feedback.
Okay, so I see there is a city council meeting next Monday,
yes,
May 9th at 7 p.m. So would this come up at, because I haven't been to a city council meeting in years.
Mm-hmm.
So would this type of thing come up? Is this something the community needs to come to the meeting? Can the community speak at the meeting? You know, how do people find out about this new commission or committee and the legislation? Because I'm not on it, and I definitely want to know. You know, I don't live in Cleveland now, so I may not be able to be on it. I don't know. But, you know, I would just like to know and just to kind of keep on top of it, because I have a lot of family who live in Cleveland and, you know, young women and that I know that live in Cleveland. And I would really like to see Cleveland